Happy December with Movies On Up. This week, we've got news regarding a couple of our pod favorite directors, Kevin Smith and Nikki Rain.
We also each give 6 movies and schedule our first fake sit-down with Movies On Up Film Festival.
We've got a couple sci-fi flicks in our trailer section starring Tom Cruise and Will Smith.
Theme song, Come Take Me Away.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 31. Don't make any plans for August. I am, of course, referring to our tagline contest for this week, not the impending end of the world, because the Mayans from the other dimension are going to come and take over this dimension and kill us all. That is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that's from, and it is from a movie we talked a little bit about last week, mostly the 3D release that's coming up. If you think you know what it is, zip it off to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet directly at my co-host, Dave.
Actually, I think it's 3D release that's not coming up.
Well,
it's more accurate.
Yeah, it was coming up. Now,
and
it's,
now it's not.
To be determined.
Yeah.
But if you can determine what it is, tweet it at Dave, @moviesonup, or leave it on our Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. Those are the 3 ways you can let us know what you think that movie is. Don't make plans for August. And if you're right, we will send you, and you are the person we choose. I should put that in there, too. We will send you a Movies On Up prize pack, which consists of God only knows what, because we've never actually had to do it yet. So you could be the first. Plant a flag.
That's like the second Plant a Flag reference you've mentioned
since
you got to my house today.
Should I go for the trifecta?
Eventually, I'm sure it'll happen eventually.
It probably will. That happens. Like, you ever have a phrase that, for whatever reason, you seem to keep saying a lot? No?
Oh, are you talking to me or are you talking to the listener?
Yeah, I'm talking to the listeners and I expect them to answer me because that's how goddamn interactive this show is.
No, there's a guy that I used to hang out with who would say irregardless.
Oh.
I hate that word. It's a real word.
I say regardless sometimes.
It's a real word, but it just sounds so stupid to use.
Watch this. Regardless of whatever your plans for the weekend may be, movie-wise, usually we have a list of things that are coming out in wide release. You just have written that it doesn't matter, and I'm guessing it doesn't matter because, of course, The Hobbit is coming out this week, and it is going to make all of the money.
I was saying it doesn't matter for last week.
Oh, doesn't it?
Because last week, Playing for Keeps was the only wide release.
Oh, shit, you're right. Okay, this was for last week. I just confused myself.
And it actually did a lot worse, or a lot better than I expected, Playing for Keeps.
That's the Gerard Butler soccer rom-com.
Yeah. It came in 6th with $5.7 million, which, I'll be honest, that's a lot more than I expected. Top 5, Skyfall, in its 5th week, moves up from number 2 to number 1 with $10.7 million. Rise of the Guardians, hanging in there. It only saw a 20% drop. It took the 2nd spot with $10.4 million. It's still going to be quite a big moneymaker or money loser for DreamWorks, but I still think it looks pretty awesome. Twilight finally fell down to Earth. And came in 3rd with $9.1 million. It sits right now after 4 weeks at $268 million. Lincoln sits tied at 4th with $8.9 million. It's going to cross over the $100 million mark this week. And then Life of Pi in 5th place with $8.3 million at $60.9 million, which just behind Rise of the Guardians. So I think that kind of shocked the studio there.
So that was it for this week. Like you said, there was
pretty
only
much
just the one. The Gerard Butler was the new movie last week, so it was kind of a quiet week, and you just more of the same essentially. Where you know the movies that have been out have been performing, still did well. You mentioned Twilight not doing as well as it had been in the past, but you know I think eventually we kind of knew that one would fall, and they're all gonna bite it this week.
Yeah.
Once Gandalf comes back.
And then Hyde Park on Hudson, the limited release. People got out of their chairs to go see that one.
Oh.
It was 81,000 on 4 screens, so it's only 20,000. Or, I mean, it's pulled in an impressive 20,000 per screen. So Brad Pitt, Killing Them Softly, so it opened week and it saw a 60% decrease.
It got killed.
Yeah.
It's going to go away softly.
$2.8 million.
Yeah.
So, but after 2 weeks, it's at $11.8 million on a $15 million budget. So, like I said, it's not going to hurt anybody, really.
that's it for the box office this week. No reason to drag that out any more than we have to. Maybe this next franchise is being...
Speaking of dragging out.
Maybe. I mean, we'll have to talk about this. I liked your headline. This movie isn't even supposed to be here today. Kevin Smith announces on Twitter that he plans to make Clerks 3. Hit Somebody was supposed to be his final film. He said that for a while, but he announced this past week that he is turning it into a TV miniseries instead. Okay, whatever. Clerks 3 will be the movie he retires on, and we'll check up on Randall and Dante in their 40s. To borrow a line from a movie that Kevin Smith likes a little bit, the circle is now complete.
It makes sense. I skipped out on Clerks 2.
That was from Star Wars.
I know. Okay. I skipped out on Clerks 2.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't need it. Like, I like Clerks as it was. I didn't need the sequel. I kind of figured out what it was, and I don't think I'd be surprised at all. So I didn't see any need to see it. I enjoy Kevin Smith. I just felt like I sat that one out. I'd probably sit this one out. Hit Somebody. I don't know what's going on with there. It was going to be his last movie. Then it's going to be two movies. Then he announced early in the week it's going to be one movie. Then he announced later in the week it's going to be a miniseries. So I don't know what's going on with that, but I guess it is good to go full circle and come back and do Clerks 3
and
focus on what he wants to focus on now.
Yeah, and I mean, with Clerks 3, you can wrap up a lot of shit. I mean, that whole universe, like all those characters, you know, sort of involved with each other. So you could have, you know, Affleck show up. You could have Jason Lee. You could have all these guys and just do, you know, a proper send-off and wrap it all up. I just hope they don't want it to be too
self-blowjobby. You know, like, I would like to see cameos and wrap up the loose ends from the original Jersey trilogy or whatever, yeah. But I don't want it to overtake it.
I you know what? I'd even be okay if it was. Because, I mean, Clerks 2 was not for everybody. I mean, that was for, you know, View Askew fans. That's who that movie was for, and I think this one will be even more like it. And you know what? I'm okay. I think if it is way too self-referential, the people that saw all the movies, like all the movies, are going to get it. They'll love it. And the people that don't or didn't, you know, maybe they're not going to be on board anyway. So,
because I would almost be more interested in...
Talking on mic?
I'm on mic.
You are now.
But like, I would be more interested than, say, instead of seeing these characters in Clerks 3, because Clerks was in their 20s, Clerks 2
was
in their 30s.
Great. Clerks 2 is just, hey, here's and funny then, jokes.
Which I think is all Clerks 3 is going to be as it follows them in their 40s.
Yeah. Fine.
Which is just two dudes. You don't see these characters in movies a lot, especially in a franchise, to where they're just two dudes that don't give a fuck. But I would almost be more interested in, say, like, a Mallrats 2. To where he goes backwards and say you have, say, Jason Lee's character had a kid or something, and you focus on the offspring there. Like, I think he could do really interesting with that if he tried to go backwards. Well, if he tried to make what Mallrats was just today, because he has adapted through the time, and I think there's so much change that I just think that would be really, really interesting. I think that would be more interesting to me than Clerks 3.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, to me, I'm just glad that, you know, we're getting, you know, a movie from the Jersey trilogy. It's, you know, it's going to have all the characters that I like. Hit Somebody, I could really care less about, to be honest with you. What the fuck was all
something
that?
Something fell off my desk. No, I don't really care about Hit Somebody, but...
This movie I do care about, and I know you're but if you're on both of them, at least I'm somewhat excited about the possibility of a Clerks 3, so good for me. Maybe for you. The Equalizer now has a driver. Nikki Winding Refn has signed on to direct the Denzel Washington adaptation of the old TV show from the 80s. The Equalizer follows Robert McCall, a private detective that manages to get things done. The Equalizer will be done and in theaters in April 2014.
It will drive into theaters April 2014.
I like the way I said it better.
I like the way I wrote it better. The only thing I don't like about this, I like Nikki Winding Refn.
Yeah. Is it sounds very close to...
It's very close
Drive.
To Drive. Yeah. Very close to Drive. The Equalizer character is similar to Ryan Gosling, to the driver in Drive. So, but then on the other hand, okay, Denzel Washington in that kind of role. All right, and I think Nikki Winding Refn will bring some sort of brutality to it that the 80s TV show lacked. So, I mean, I'm into it. I like Denzel. I like badass Denzel. And Nikki Winding Rain knows badass leads. So
yeah, I'm just kind of like you. I think I like Drive, and I would be okay with a Drive sequel. I just don't know that I'm gonna be as excited to see a movie that's just like Drive, but it's not really a sequel. It's just like, hey, you like this? Let me put it in a different.
It is slightly different, but it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah, I just think it's too close.
A little bit.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, if this might be more accessible to people because they'll remember the TV show, maybe it's, you know, for people that didn't see Drive.
And Denzel.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Denzel brings them in.
Yeah. I guess I'd watch it. I'm just not real excited.
I just wonder. I don't know what this does to his status on Logan's Run.
On Nikki Rains?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Gosling's off that.
I assume he's off.
And
because that movie, I don't think will ever happen.
Which is a shame.
I think it's all right. I love Logan's Run.
Yeah,
then watch it.
I do.
Okay, then.
And I'll watch the new one if they make one. Whatever. Renew. Get Hard Gets Heart. Kevin Hart signs on to co-star in the Will Ferrell comedy, Get Hard. Ferrell will play a rich bank manager who gets wrongly accused and sentenced to a maximum security prison for a crime he didn't commit. Hart will play the man that Ferrell hires to toughen him up in his last 30 days before freedom.
This sounds like, in a way, it sounds like a Rob Schneider movie, or like a movie for somebody who doesn't have the success of Will Ferrell, but then you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, that does sound like a Will Ferrell movie.
What was that one with Chai McBride, Let's Go to Prison?
Yeah, directed by Bob Odenkirk, written by Tommy Lennon and Robert Ben-Gurion. Actually underrated movie.
I'm sure it is. I'm just saying it sounds a bit like that.
I think this focuses more on before, because basically Kevin Hart washes Will Ferrell's cars, and Will Ferrell goes to prison, so he hires him to make him street tough. I think the two of them will be funny. I think it's a dumb premise.
I mean, they're both funny guys. Kevin Hart's funny.
I think it's good for Kevin Hart because he's having success in like Think Like a Man, and he's got the Ice Cube movie coming up that I think is going to be good for him. This gets him out into that.
I think Will Ferrell will bring people that haven't seen Kevin Hart before.
I think it's a slow climb that Kevin Hart's been taking to get that, I don't know, where Chris Tucker was, to get that success.
He should just make a movie with Jackie Chan then, right?
Will Ferrell's his Jackie Chan. I think he's on his way there, and I think he deserves it. I think he's going to stick around. I think he's going to be awesome. This movie's not going to be, but I can't wait for Kevin Hart to be like a massive star.
Until the public suffers a heart attack? Like, because his name is...
I'm not even getting back on mic for that one.
No, I'm sorry. Minute is in good hands. Dennis Haysbert will replace Michael Clark Duncan in Sin City 2.
Eh.
Well, somebody had to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it's an easy enough story. You could avoid him, I guess. But I like Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah.
I never really considered him and Michael Clark. It's hard to replace Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
Physically, the character's going to be different no matter who you put in there.
Yeah, I guess, like,
just put Bob Sapp in there.
Ving Rhames? Eh.
Yeah.
Even he's smaller. And Ving Rhames is a big dude.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, what about, the dude from Expendables.
Terry Crews?
Yeah.
I could see that.
I love Terry Crews. I want to see Terry Crews in everything.
I would love Terry Crews.
Yeah. But it's going to be Dennis Haysbert, so deal with it. One guy it's not going to be, Christoph Waltz. Take this Waltz's role. Christoph Waltz no longer on board to play an Interpol inspector in the sequel to Disney's The Muppets. That role is now going to go to Ty Burrell, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Now this makes more sense.
Yes.
We talked about it. Like, I couldn't see Christoph Waltz leading like a family
movie.
Ty Burrell makes sense.
Yes.
Same role. But it makes nothing against Christoph Waltz.
No,
I love him.
Tremendous actor.
Keep doing movies you're doing. You're an awesome villain.
Yeah.
I think Ty Burrell's a better fit here.
And I think he still can do that villain thing.
Yes.
But he'll be a family-friendly, funny villain.
Yeah.
It's great, great, great. Ty Burrell's another dude. I like Terry Crews. They both look similar. More stuff, please.
And I think he's getting there. I think he's heading that way.
I think so, yeah. Check out Butter if you haven't already.
Or Hulk.
Available on DVD. Shut up! LZ Entertainment to adapt Hush Hush. The studio behind such classics as The Grey and The Collection well, The Gray seemed to do well in the eyes of our listeners. Neither of us has seen it yet. Has options.
No, I saw it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit.
No, I did. When it came out, I saw it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, it's terrible.
All right, whatever.
I watched like half of it.
Listeners, argue with Dave. I haven't seen it yet, but if you say it's good, maybe I'll watch it. Anyway, the studio has optioned all four novels in the Tween series by Becca Fitzgerald. The story follows 16-year-old Nora Gray, who falls for, and you're never going to believe this, the mysterious bad boy in the school who also happens to be a fallen angel that ends up putting her life in danger. Patrick Sean Smith from Greek will write the first screenplay with production to begin in the fall of 2013.
This is just one of those that they're just throwing fucking darts at the board now and hoping they hit anything. Because this is, it sells okay, but it's not, it's a fucking, it looks terrible. It sounds terrible. Just the concept. There's nothing about it.
That's different?
That seems any different.
Right. I think we're going to see, and we already have.
I mean, you already got, what's it called, Beautiful Creatures or whatever?
That City of Bones.
City of Bones, at least.
It looks okay.
But City of Bones, there's at least some story there, too.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they all seem to be in the same genre.
In the same vein.
And they're getting pumped out quite a bit. And these other ones look like they're going to be better. So they've optioned all four. Maybe they'll make all four. Maybe they won't.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, I guess if the first one takes a bath, maybe they'll eat shit. This next movie, not going to eat shit. It's Bait City for Clooney's Monuments Men. Clooney's next Oscar-friendly Monuments Men will star an Oscar-friendly cast of George Clooney, Daniel Craig, Cate Blanchett, Bill Murray, John Goodman, Jean Dujardin, and possibly Matt Damon, set for an Oscar-friendly release date of Christmas 2013.
Yeah, I mean, that's an Oscar movie right there. So putting it on Christmas, that's just locking up some stuff. So.
Yeah, and that's about the repatriation of stolen Nazi art. I believe it's Nazi art.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but kind of the new thing is it'll be out Christmas of next year. So
yeah.
That's kind of cool.
But Clooney directs something, it automatically gets attention.
Yeah, and with that cast,
a
bunch of people that I like to see. Actually, everybody in there I'm down with. Kind of a wonder it's taken this long for Disney to head back to Wonderland. Beauty and the Beast and Lion King writer Linda Wolverton to script a sequel to Tim Burton's 2010 Alice in Wonderland. No confirmation on Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, and whomever else was in that movie because they really didn't market anyone else except those two.
Mia Wachowski.
Yeah, poor her.
She's blossomed into a pretty awesome career. Like,
kind of the thing. Like, she was like third, fourth build. She was Alice.
I wonder if she would even want to come back for this, because like she's pretty much avoided the big time movies since then. Like, she used this as a jumping off point, has kind of just made what she wants to make.
She was in for Hunger Games, wasn't she? For a role in the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would have been a big time movie,
but it's an awesome role too. So I mean,
yeah.
There were legit actresses up for that role. So.
And models.
And a model, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say that I'm real excited about this. I mean, the movie made... I didn't see it either, but it made a shit ton of money. Like, a lot of money worldwide. So it kind of makes sense that they're doing this. But from what I understand about the first one, it was based off Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. So they already kind of...
So you have to create a new story.
Essentially, yeah.
And I can't see Burton wanting to do it. I can't see Depp wanting to do it.
Well, if you get one, I think you get both. And Helena Bonham Carter gets thrown in.
Yeah, obviously.
Sure. You Shall Not Pass, over 48 frames per second. Gandalf / Magneto, in a YouTube interview, mentions how much Bryan Singer loves the HFR tech. That is the 48 frames per second 3D format that Pete Jackson is using for his Hobbit flicks. Looks like maybe Days of Future Past might be being shot in that format as well.
Possibly. Because my understanding is that it's easy enough to convert back to, what is it, 24?
Yes.
So I think this is better for directors, the 48 frames per second. I don't know that it's going to transfer over to audiences, though. It might be a technology that they want to try to make happen, but it's just not going to work. I guess we'll know more next weekend, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, this definitely, all the Hobbit movies are doing that. Avatar 2 is doing that. There are a lot of you know, big time movies that are going to be coming out between now and then, and maybe you can throw X-Men in there, where this is really going to get a legitimate run. And exactly like you're saying, we're going to find out with The Hobbit. I'm going to end up seeing that movie several times. And I'll probably see it both. I'll see it regular, and I'll see it, I think the second time I see it, I'll do it in the HFR. But I think it's interesting that after hearing so much shit about that, movie critics just saying how bad it was, to hear a director like Bryan Singer come out and say, no, this is awesome. So awesome that I want to do this, you know, on my next project. So Fox not doing it for Josh Trank's Fantastic Four reboot that we know of. Date set for that will be March 6th, 2015.
It's kind of brilliant, this release date, if it sticks. Because you're talking summer 2015, you already got Avengers 2, so you're beating that by a couple of months. They're hoping to have Justice League, which I don't see happening. There's potentially Star Wars. So you're jumping out there early. And a few years ago, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, it transitioned to where you have that one blockbuster release in March. Like this year it was The Hunger Games. Hunger Games was a March release, and that is a legitimate franchise. So used to be you wouldn't even consider releasing like a legitimate like blockbuster franchise in anywhere but the summer or Thanksgiving weekend, but
or Christmas.
Yeah, but it's kind of smart on this because also it's cheaper to do it. So if it's not as great as they want it to be, the stakes aren't as high.
And it has longer to recoup and make more money kind of on a slow burn.
You're not going to have the competition.
Yeah. You don't have, you know, Star Wars waiting 2 weeks ahead or, you know, Iron Man's not up your ass.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a way for Josh Trank, this release date takes a lot of pressure off him because cheaper to release a movie in March and the competition like you're talking about. So,
and even the marketing, like you don't have to fight with a bunch of other movies.
Drop a fucking trailer in the Super Bowl and you're golden.
They probably will.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of smart, which usually you look at a March release date and
although didn't G.I. Joe drop a trailer in the Super Bowl?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
What a mistake.
Yeah.
So Fox, don't fuck that up.
And now it's a March movie.
Yeah. There you go.
They're going to try to pass it off.
Josh Trank, drop a trailer in the Super Bowl last year and you'll be fine. The seeds will be planted. Dave planted some seeds earlier on in the week about Harry Knowles of Ain't It Cool News, did his annual movie marathon. He watches 6 movies over the course of a weekend. So Dave and I thought it might be fun to have the first annual Movies on Up Watch Fest.
I called it the Movies on Up Sit-Down Fest.
Oh, I was going to ask how beholden you were to that name, because I titled my Microsoft Word document Sit Down with Movies on Up. So I think okay. We were on the same...
Either one of those works.
Yeah.
Either one works. Yeah, I like Sit-Down Fest.
Yeah, I'm okay with that because, it's really clever because it works with our name. So, yeah, that's it's one of those things that Dave and I said, but we're sitting down.
Basically what it is is...
Yeah, why don't you explain
that? Not to cut
that.
Ryan off. Harry Knowles every year, I think it's the 14th year now, he has what's called a Buttonumathon, which is just a 24-hour film marathon. And, I mean, he plays movies he loves. He gets, like, he plays new movies. And now it's become, like, a big thing, like... Newer movies are sending trailers that aren't even released yet. It's got a Comic-Con type feel. Like, there's footage and exclusive stuff at that. So I thought, oh, that'd be cool to do like a 24-hour film marathon. So why don't we just schedule 12 movies?
Well, neither of us know what the other 6 movies are. But, I mean, this could be over 24 hours. We don't know. Because I think some of my movies are kind of long. But at any rate, we do have 12 that we're going to give you. And
the goal of it was I wanted to encompass our tastes, like what we love about movies and try to... So it's not necessarily just our 6 favorite movies because this list is way different than my top 6 movies.
Yeah, I like all these, but none of them are in my...
We wanted to
favorite.
Do it to where it encompasses our tastes. So like I love, you know, Sunshine, 28 Days Later, Children of Men, Moon. I love all of those for about the same reasons. So it wouldn't make sense to have all 4 of those. Yeah, actually, none of them ended up having it. There's something else representing it. But so I didn't want to have movies that are the same. Wanted to, and I tried to look at it as if I'm going to sit down and watch 12 movies in a row, what do I want to watch?
Like, you got a little bit of everything.
I obviously don't want the same thing over and over again. And I tried to put some excitement in there where it's not just long talky stuff.
Sure. So do you want to go ahead and start? Do the first one?
I'll start because I'm getting people hooked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting people
Mine aren't going to hook you.
I'm getting you in. I like a dumb action movie. Like, I like when there's story or a strong lead. Like, Beverly Hills Cop, Point Break, Last Boy Scout. Like, those are some of my favorites of that genre.
Is this one a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas movie.
I know where
so
you're going
we're
with
starting
this.
Off.
I like it.
Yes. Yeah, so we're starting off mainstream. We're starting off with something everybody's seen. So
one of the best action movies of all time.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
If not the best. It's one of the first ones that introduced a story. There was a good story to it. It wasn't just blowing up stuff. Die Hard. That's a good way to kick off I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's probably not in my top six of all time, but shit, I'd watch Die Hard.
It's not
watch
my top
Die
six
this
of, die of all time either, but if I'm going to watch 12 movies in a row and the first one's Die Hard, all right.
Yeah.
Check that one off. I don't care. Like, it's not even going to feel like it. Like,
no, and I'm glad you started off with a bang, because I certainly didn't. I like sci-fi movies, and I feel like the best ones and the best sci-fi directors have their own distinct visual style and representation of the future, if it's going to be set in the future. You can think of Ridley Scott when he did Blade Runner, and as much as I don't like Brazil, really, Terry Gilliam did a hell of a job stylistically with that movie, as did Fritz Lang in 1927 when he did Metropolis. It's German Impressionism and Art Deco got together, had sex, and shit out this thing. It's a film that, oddly enough, Fritz Lang doesn't even like, or didn't like when he talked about it here towards the end of his life. And I'm guessing it's probably because it was kind of co-opted by Goebbels and the Nazis as kind of a justification for their own social revolution that they did. I think it's a great example of not only man versus technology, it's also man versus man from a long-ass time ago. And it has what I think is one of the most interesting and introspective, I guess. It's a silent movie, but there's a title card towards the end of the movie that said, "The intermediary between the hand and the brain is the heart." And I thought that's a really nice message to have. So I kind of like it.
So our first two are kind of similar.
Really, really similar. Yeah.
It'd be the third movie, my second. I love crime movies. Absolutely love them. I love like epic, sweeping like crime movies like Heat.
I got one of those on there.
Yeah, I love like Heat. I love like when you can mix like comedy and action and crime movies like Snatch or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, I like those too.
So I thought, okay, if you've listened to this show for long, there's two crime movies that I've mentioned quite a bit, and I couldn't decide. It was a hard time. I ended up cutting Way of the Gun. Way of the Gun was in the final two to go. And I went with one that's not going to surprise anybody because it did mix that element of comedy in it also. And it's in Bruges. Love it. It's just such a good movie. And I think I don't think either of them. I think more people have seen In Bruges than Way of the Gun. But I still don't think enough people have seen In Bruges.
Oh, fair enough. And I don't think, I mean, neither of us saw Seven Psychopaths yet, have we?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of relevant in that, you know, he just came out with a new movie with Colin Farrell. So. Check out both of them, maybe.
But, yeah. So,
In Bruges for our movie marathon. My second movie, I like a good mystery movie. One that really, really kind of draws you in. And I'm not, you know, the type of person that tries to figure out where the movie's going. I'd rather just kind of let the movie take me where it's going. With that being said, sometimes you really can't help it. Sometimes a director has his shit together and he just kind of pulls you in and makes you an accomplice in what you see on the screen. And I kind of feel like Alfred Hitchcock did that in 1954's Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart watches his neighbors kind of with the same interest that you watch them and him watching the movie. The master of suspense, I kind of feel like, earns his nickname here. And I'm not one to tell you how poor or great a film's direction is, because I'm not a fucking director. Whatever. Except in this case, I feel like this is a perfectly crafted movie. It's fucking great. It might be my favorite Hitchcock movie of all the stuff he did.
Well, that sucks, because my third one was actually going to be Disturbia.
Oh, really?
No.
I was going to say, whoa, wow.
No, but...
this is a better version.
for my third one, I love horror. I love horror movies. The way a horror movie hits me most is if there's comedy mixed in with it. So, like, Shaun of the Dead and Gremlins are, like, top two, like, horror comedies for me. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen them. 28 Days Later, probably my favorite movie ever. I feel like it's been seen enough. even something like The Signal is like under the radar, but it's not really something I want to see in the middle of a big marathon thing. So I went with something that we talked about a lot in October for our horror movie month, something that I don't think enough people have seen, mixes comedy and horror perfectly, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're right. I don't think enough people have seen it. And it is really, really a good choice.
It's a fantastic movie, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easy to watch. One of those that's a fast hour and a half.
Yeah. This next one, not quite as fast. I like a good Western as much as the next guy. Maybe not quite as much as the next guy, depending on who you are. I just kind of like the idea of folks doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's kind of simplistic, but motivations in Westerns a lot of times are. Sometimes you just get paid to run off some banditos, and that's as simple as it is. Yul Brynner, Steve McQueen, James Coburn, and Charlie Bronson all paid to do the right thing in John Sturges' Magnificent Seven from 1960. Now, most folks realize it's a remake of Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. I love both movies, but some of you might find subtitles and basic literacy a challenge, so I just decided to go with the English version. So check it out. You can flip on your TV, and you will likely find it. Odd, interesting fact about it. It has been televised more than any other movie, save Wizard of Oz.
How would you feel about a Tom Cruise remake?
A Tom Cruise remake of Magnificent Seven?
Yeah.
It's been remade several times.
But not with Tom Cruise.
No, not with Tom Cruise. It's,
All right. I like comedies. I'm a big comedy fan. I so badly wanted to put Superbad here or something from the 80s, like even Beverly Hills Cop or Ghostbusters, or kind of wanted to put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in here. But then I went way off the fucking radar. Not way off the fucking radar. I went north of the border, up to Canada, for a comedy that came out, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. I didn't look up the exact year, that I think is fucking great. A little film called Young People Fucking. One of the best comedies I've seen in a long time. The dialogue is fucking great. The situations that people are put in are fantastic. It's just such a fun fucking movie to watch. It's just such a blast, and I not nearly enough people have seen it.
I haven't seen it, so that's a good call. Maybe I will.
Watch it. That's your mission for next week.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. This next movie, I love me some X-rated movies. And if you haven't seen this one, maybe this is your mission for next week. In the history of Forevers, only two X-rated movies have been nominated for an Oscar. Clockwork Orange and this one, which actually won Best Picture in 1969, John Schlesinger's Midnight Cowboy. Also won for Best Director and Best Adapted Screenplay. Dustin Hoffman and John Voight both nominated for Best Actor, and they fucking lost to John Wayne. Rooster Cogburn in True Grit. Sylvia Miles also nominated for this movie for Best Supporting Actress, despite being in the movie for only about 5 minutes. Eat that, Hannibal. For My Money, that's M-O-N-Y, Dustin Hoffman gives one of his best performances ever. After seeing the shit he makes now, this will remind you that there once upon a time, he was a fucking great actor. Wonderfully acted movie all the way around. And I feel like that's, you know, sometimes you just want to see a movie where actors act. And this, Dustin Hoffman will break your fucking heart in this movie. He's great.
All right, this next one, I went to sci-fi. I wouldn't consider myself a sci-fi fan because I don't just like random sci-fi, but when sci-fi is done well, they're among my favorite movies. So this one I had, you know, Moon, District 9, Sunshine, Children of Men, any of those could have went. I could name off probably 10 more that I could have done, but I went with something a little safer. Probably a lot of people have seen it, but if not, it's way more fun than the others. It's way more upbeat, and if you haven't seen it, you really should. So I went with Serenity.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I'm looking like, okay, we have like 4 movies left. What's going to wake people up? What's going to be a fast watch? What's going to get everybody going? Serenity.
And I saw Serenity before I watched Firefly. So it can be done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest that.
No, I wouldn't either.
But if you have to.
Yeah, I had to because Fox pulled it off the air. What are you going to do? You talked about crime movies earlier. I got a crime movie. And more specifically, a heist movie. I feel like that's kind of a subgenre. Ocean's 11, I thought was really, really cool. Inside Man was awesome. You know, you look at Dog Day Afternoon, which was great. And The Town, more recently. All really good movies. It's a good genre, especially when you can kind of root for the criminals. And when they steal from even badder guys, all the better. And when they have the dreamy blue eyes of Paul Newman, even more all the better. Robert Redford, nominated for Best Actor in George Roy Hill's The Sting from 1973. The movie won 7 Academy Awards that year out of 10 nominations. It's another one of those movies that you're going to try and figure out what's coming up next, but you're not going to. And it is absolutely a fun ride. Redford and Paul Newman, they were actually both directed by George Hill in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They got such good chemistry together. This is a great ensemble movie, and those are just two fucking movie stars.
Yeah, for my last one, I like epic, like, especially fantasy. Like, you could count Star Wars in there. You could count Lord of the Rings.
Would. Yeah.
But
you want more epic than Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
No, I want less epic because I've just watched 22 movies in a row. So I don't want to go like Lord of the Rings, one of them, or Star Wars, or any of these. Like, so I thought, okay, what's an epic saga that takes place in one film? I think Princess Bride and like a movie like Stardust have that feel of like an epic saga wrapped up into one movie.
But you didn't pick either of those.
No.
You went with an older movie.
I went with an older movie. That,
starring a small man.
Yes, that if you've ever heard me talk, yes, you know I love this movie. So my final is Willow. Movie from, I don't know, late 80s.
Just, what are you looking at me for? This is your movie. I got all mine, son.
Yeah, I didn't write down years. It's just such a good fucking movie. It's fun. It's funny. It's engaging. Val Kilmer gives, I think, the best performance of his career. Like, most likable.
Well.
I mean, most like his most fun performance of his career.
Yeah, that might
even
be.
Compared to, like, Top Secret or Real Genius. Like, he's just such a good character. And he plays it perfectly. Everybody in the movie nails it.
Warwick Davis, awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
from Star Wars,
the effects. If you can put aside the effects, aren't terrible.
No,
some of the brownie stuff looks bad,
right?
But you're talking 20 some years ago. If you can put that aside, it's a fucking great movie, and it's just an awesome, awesome movie. It's epic. Yeah, it's probably longer than I'd want after for my 23rd movie in a row, but fuck it, it doesn't feel long at all.
I guess I didn't really consider length when I did these, and this would be the last movie in the marathon. I like new movies, like movies from the mid-70s. I also like black comedies, and it doesn't get much blacker.
Is it Shaft?
It is not Shaft. It is not any Madea movies, you racist bastard. It doesn't get much blacker than a dude promising to kill himself on network TV, which is exactly what Peter Finch wins what was at the time the first posthumously awarded Oscar for his performance in 1976 Network. It was the last movie to win 3 out of the 4 acting awards. Finch won, obviously. Faye Dunaway won Best Actress, and Beatrice Straight won for Best Supporting Actress with a grand total of 5 minutes and 40 seconds of screen time. Didn't win Best Picture, though. That went to fucking Rocky. Yeah, let that sink in. If you've ever tried to watch TV and you felt a little bit dirty for enjoying some of the shit that gets cranked out, rejoice, you self-righteous pricks, and enjoy Network, because I did.
What's disgusting about this movie is how far ahead of its time it was.
How right it is.
Everything in that fucking movie is relevant today. What's that, 30, 47 years?
1976. Yeah.
37 years later? 36 years later? It's fucking relevant still. Like, it nailed everything. It was spot on. Like, you talk about movies coming out ahead of their time or getting it right, and this did both. And it's got one of the most epic, most quoted scenes in movie history.
Most quoted
ever.
Scenes that you don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
That's
so,
I mean,
it's a solid choice.
Yeah. If you want to get what we're talking about, and this for a while was on my MySpace page, so find me on MySpace and you may find the clip still on there. And
I'm mad as hell.
Yes.
I'm not gonna take it anymore.
Absolutely. That's a fucking great scene. It just
that
I mean just
scene won the Oscar, I think.
Yeah, the scene won the Oscar, but listen to what the man says.
That's the scarier part.
Yes, this will encapsulate exactly what Dave just said about how far ahead of its time this movie was and how relevant it is now. And you know, regardless of where you stand on things, you know, some of it will at least ring
like,
true.
I don't think it could be made today because it's too spot on.
Yeah,
I really do. I think it's too close to reality.
Yeah,
that it
I think
could...
in 76, people thought, oh, shit, TV will never be like this. Now people would be like, yeah, what's it wouldn't be shocking.
You wouldn't be able to do it without doing it tongue in cheek. like you would have to have your fake Housewives clips and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In it. Like, and it would just, it wouldn't be as relevant. It wouldn't be as impactful. But yeah, that's a good way to close it out.
I like it. It's, I think our choices were pretty different, but they're all good movies. So maybe you don't have to watch all 12 of them. Maybe pick six that you like. Put in six of your own, or don't do it at all. But we've at least given you 12 really, really good movies. Well, yeah. At least 11. I don't know the one movie you talked about. I haven't seen
Young People Fucking.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got one of the best dirty talk scenes ever. It's so fucking good. The movie's just, it's so funny. It's just really fucking good. So, yeah, watch that. You want to go through our schedule real quick? I got Die Hard.
Okay, mine was Metropolis.
In Bruges.
Rear Window.
Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
The Magnificent Seven.
Young People Fucking.
Midnight Cowboy.
Serenity.
The Sting.
Willow.
And Network.
That's your 24-hour marathon right there.
Yeah, take that. A lot of Oscars in there on my side.
On your side.
Yeah.
Mine, not so much.
Good movies on Dave's side, too, though. Actually, I think Willow probably got nominated for some stuff. Yeah, sure it did. Matt Mardigan, Best Actor. I don't think anybody's going to get nominated for Best Actor from our first trailer, which is the long-awaited, by some, The Lone Ranger. Johnny Depp, Armie Hammer from Jerry Bruckheimer, Gore Verbinski, blah, blah, blah.
Jesus Christ.
I give no fucks, to quote like, my co-host.
Fuck. I just don't get it. Like, I didn't understand the point of this movie already, and then I see the trailer and it makes even less sense, and it's like, who is on board for this?
Apparently Disney, and in a big way, because they've spent a lot of money.
It's over like $250 million budget.
Yeah.
And it's almost like Johnny Depp called up his agent and said, what's the quickest way to make people disregard me as an actor? And then he took this role, because it doesn't... He's like the key point of the trailer. Like, he's the sidekick, but he's top billed.
Like Alice in Wonderland.
Yes. Would you watch movies or TV shows where people that aren't actors try to act? That's what it looks like. That's what Johnny Depp looks like he's doing. He looks like a character
that doesn't... He's doing a bad Indian impersonation.
He's your uncle giving a Thanksgiving play. Like, that's all it looks like. He doesn't... I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand how it's going to get by, because it's almost Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's type level racism there.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like, I don't understand it. I can't buy Armie Hammer as a leading guy. I just can't. That's a me thing. He did look better in the trailer than I thought he would, but that's not saying a lot. I don't get it. What the fuck is this movie about? Was Lone Ranger, was real Lone Ranger, is he like a ghost? I don't get it. I thought he was just a cowboy.
I don't know, Dave.
Now he's a death walker or something.
I've got no answers for
you. Like, what the fuck?
Somebody's going to see this movie. There's people that like Johnny Depp, and I don't know that there's enough to make $300 million. But
I think this opens weaker than Dark Shadows.
I hope that this opens and then goes away so that I don't have to deal with it anymore. I just want it gone. The next trailer, I'm sure you want gone, because you've been shit-talking this movie for a while. I get more and more excited as we go. It's we finally got an actual trailer for The Man of Steel, and I don't think from the trailer that it looks like your typical dumb Zack Snyder action movie. I think it looks like there's a little something more there, and I wanted to ask you, have you changed your mind yet?
No.
Okay.
It's not even... At this point, it's not even... The trailer... I don't dislike the trailer for Zack Snyder. It wasn't a very Zack Snyder-y trailer.
Not at all.
But a part of me wonders if he's trying too hard to not make it look Zack Snyder-y. Like, Zack Snyder really has nothing to do with my disinterest in this trailer. I just, first of all, I don't care about Superman.
I don't either.
I don't want a large chunk of the movie based on the origin of Superman, because we've seen it a million times. We know about it. Like, I'm just not into the character. I'm not into the director. I don't like the casting. The trailer
didn't... You don't like the casting of Superman?
Yeah, I don't like Cavill.
Okay.
As Superman. And I don't get his beard. Why has he got a beard? Some of Costner's lines made me laugh out loud. maybe. I don't know why. I don't think it was meant for comedy, but it made me laugh out
loud. And the way they cut there and they give you a little pause.
Yeah.
And then you watch a trailer, you'll know what Dave's talking
about.
I
don't know that I'm into. I mean, I'm definitely not into it. I can't pinpoint why exactly. The trailer really has nothing to do with Snyder. I just not into this movie. Although Michael Shannon looked badass. And he's the only thing that could save the movie to me. Because Superman's so boring as a character, as a hero, that you have to have a villain. That's where the movies mostly... That's where Superman Begins failed. Because Lex Luthor, he wasn't vicious enough. He wasn't evil. Like, you have to have really high stakes for me to give a shit about somebody who has no weaknesses.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason I don't care about Superman.
And that's... If they can do Zod and he can just be vicious, violent, and have really, really fucking high stakes, maybe I'll be into the movie. But we don't know enough yet, and I don't know.
Yeah,
and
fair
I mean
enough.
Zack's Snyder has, I don't put any faith in
him.
He
doesn't add any confidence to it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, if you're waiting for signs, like if you're looking for smoke signals that this thing's going to be a dumpster fire, I don't feel like you get any in the trailer. So, you know, maybe it will end up sucking. But from everything that I've seen about this movie to this point, I got no reason to believe
that
it's going to be bad.
I'm not saying the movie looks shitty. I'm saying I'm not into it. That there's two different things there. I'm not saying it looks terrible. It might be good. I just, nothing has me excited about it.
But you are excited about Benedict Cumberbatch in our next trailer, Star Trek Into Darkness, yes?
I am.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be the kind of villain that I want Michael Shannon to be.
He looks pretty badass.
He
like,
sounds badass. He sounds like a fucking pissed off Picard. Like, he sounds fucking angry. Like, he just sounds, there's like anger in his voice. And
a giant gun he's swinging around.
And I don't know enough. I don't know enough about Star Trek. Like, I don't, the words John Harrison don't mean anything to me, but I know fans that have said that. So I don't know if it's him, but yeah, I'm excited for Seabatch. I love the first one. I thought it was great. I thought casting, I like Anton Yelchin. I thought he was out of place. Hopefully he's dialed back a little bit because I just didn't buy. Maybe because I followed his career so long, him with the Russian accent was off-putting, but
yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think not a lot of... This trailer, not heavy on Spock at all.
Not heavy on really anybody.
Well, I guess, you know, you got your Chris Pine, which makes sense. He's the star of the movie. A lot of Seabatch.
Because I didn't even see was... I mean, I watched it a couple days ago. I saw one clip of Chew.
Yeah.
I didn't see any Anton. I don't even think I saw Simon Pegg.
I think he may have been in there pretty briefly.
Saw Zathura, saw the new character.
Yeah, Saldana was in it for.
I mean, it's
a couple
only
shots,
a minute trailer.
Yeah,
it's a teaser.
That's true. Yeah.
So we're not seeing much, but that got me excited. I was already excited for the movie. Seeing it makes me more excited because I don't give a shit about Star Trek.
Or just wait until this weekend and watch 7 goddamn minutes of it in front of The Hobbit.
Yeah, no
you
thanks.
Can do that. That's going to happen. A trailer that Dave put on here that I had actually already seen in one of the football games this weekend was the new Tom Cruise flick, Oblivion. Not Jack Reacher, which the trailer's been everywhere for that. And then he shows up in this. I got to say, this trailer I like better than the Jack Reacher trailer.
I like Tom Cruise. Like,
yeah.
He's back to making... I don't think there was ever a phase where I didn't like Tom Cruise. Like... He does cool stuff in what he does. Like, even if I don't like the movie, like, I wasn't a big Vanilla Sky fan. I respect Tom Cruise for making that movie, and he should have got an Oscar for Magnolia. Like, he's... I like what he does. Oblivion kind of gives me a Minority Report type feel. Not that the stories are similar, but the tone and the universe that it creates. Morgan Freeman is maybe a bad guy?
As a dude?
The trailer makes it... It looks like there's a lot of twisties and turnies in there, but...
The trailer does a good job of kind of piquing your interest. You think, okay, the movie's going to be this, and then all of a sudden it kind of takes a turn.
Because at first it looks like... It looks, the trailer starts where it looks like, oh, Tom Cruise as Wally.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sure.
And then it takes a turn, and then it takes another turn, and I'm into it. It piqued my interest.
Yeah, which is what a trailer is supposed to do.
Yeah, for something I haven't followed from the production that just kind of showed up as a trailer, all right, yeah. I'm into it.
Staying in the sci-fi genre, Will Smith, welcome to another Earth. The way I looked
after
at
Earth.
It. Yeah, you're right. It's welcome, but it works better to say Another Earth.
Another Earth is a good movie.
Yes, it is. Which, watch that. Not really a sci-fi movie. It has some elements.
It is. Yeah, not, it's a sci-fi movie.
Not so much as this.
It's not heavy sci-fi. It's a sci-fi movie.
It has some sci-fi elements and a hotter lead than Will Smith. But yes, After Earth, it looks to me, it looks like the road in space. Space road.
I am constantly amazed at M. Night Shyamalan's ability and like extreme talent for getting the absolute worst out of actors. I don't know if he does take after take and then picks the worst one, or just tells them like, hey, do this, like don't do what you usually do, just do whatever. Because he gets good actors and gets the, if you're not Bruce Willis, you've given shitty performances in a Shyamalan movie. I like Marky Mark. He was terrible in The Happening. Giamatti, fucking terrible. Like, he just gets... And Will Smith, I was hoping would be immune to that. Doesn't seem like it. He gives a monologue that's a very, very Shyamalanian monologue. It's terribly written. It's horribly stupid.
And it's most of the trailer.
And it's woodenly delivered. So, I mean, I like what the trailer was trying to do, but it was too Shyamalan-y to me. Like, I think it's going to be terrible. I don't buy Jaden Smith as a lead yet.
As Will Smith's son?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a lead. Like, it's more his movie than Will's, if I understand it correctly. And there's kind of a twist in the trailer.
But don't
they
ruin
it? That's pretty obvious.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of ruined their Twilight Zone kind of ending by saying, guess what? Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
Actual Earth. I don't know. And maybe that's not exactly it, but no,
I just, the beginning of the trailer is awesome. The very, very first shot, I'm into it. If it has stopped there, okay.
Yeah, but then
give
it went
me the
on
first
for
shot,
2
and
minutes
then,
and 15 seconds at I least just, after.
The monologue, is it me? Was the monologue terrible?
I thought the whole trailer sucked. I was not interested. But this next one, added real late, not sci-fi. It is a crime movie. One of Dave's English crime movies that he was talking about earlier. Welcome to the Punch, starring James McAvoy and some other folks.
Mark Strong.
Yeah. This trailer is almost impossible to follow.
I followed it.
I think it's incredibly difficult to know what the fuck's going on.
Here's what's going on. James McAvoy is a cop.
Yeah.
Mark Strong is this villain who he's hunted his whole career. He disappears and he can't find him. Then Mark Strong's son shows up in the hospital.
I'm up to that point.
So
I'm with
he
you.
Comes back. So McAvoy's like, oh shit, Mark Strong's in town. I'm going to find his ass. Well, Mark Strong has some other people after him that don't give a fuck who they shoot in the way. So, oh shit, McAvoy and Mark Strong got to work together to get through all this. Because there's probably a bigger conspiracy than we all even know about. But it's like, all right, I'll work with you now. But then once I'm done, you're going to jail. I think it looks fucking awesome.
And then they switch it already towards the end of the trailer, and they're not working together anymore, I don't think. And they're clearly not in jail.
It looks like it has me written all over it. Like, it really does. It looks like it's twisty-turny. It looks like there's some double crosses. It looks like it's very plot-heavy, maybe to where there's a plot that's a little hard to follow, which I'm into. Mark Strong, I fucking love. So you put him in, like, a leading role. McAvoy, I've never been into, but I've never hated him in anything. And he doesn't look all McAvoy-y in this one. Like, he actually looks like a man. That's my problem with McAvoy.
He looks like a man in a boy's button-up shirt, I think.
With a beard.
Somebody needs to get him a larger shirt.
I think that's my problem with McAvoy, is that he looks like a little kid. But I'm into it. I think it looks awesome. I'm very excited about Mark Strong and, like, that big of a role. Yes.
Okay. That was... Welcome to the Punch. So watch the trailer. Tell us what you think. If you're as excited about Strong as Dave is, you can let us know moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet at us @moviesonup or get at us on our Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. I kind of shot the wad right there at the beginning when I said what's coming out this week. But I mean, if you're listening to our podcast, you clearly know what's coming out this week because you do not live under a rock. It is, of course, The Hobbit. That's your wide release for this week. Limited release. Save the date.
Hobbit. Okay. I think 80 is the ground floor. I'm going to go up and you tell me where you would. Okay. I'll start at 80. Over? Under.
Yeah.
Okay. 90.
Yep.
100.
Yep.
110.
That's where I might stop.
Okay.
It's like that pricing game and Price is Right, yeah, with the mountain climber.
Yeah, so you're stopping at 110. I think I'm going to go over. I don't think it'll be much over. I think I would stop at 120. I think it'll be in that 111, 112 range.
I think that's probably about where I'm thinking too. So let's actually set one.
110.
Do you want to go 110?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Shit. Well, I guess I kind of have to take the under, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you just said under. I thought, well, we established that.
Yeah, but I knew you were going to go up another 10, and I don't know. I don't feel that it's 120. You know what I mean?
Okay. So what if it's 115?
That's kind of what I was getting at, is if you go 115, I'll still take the under because I feel like it's closer to, you know, 113. Uh-huh. And we're splitting hairs over $2 million.
But where you're looking at is I Am Legend currently is the biggest December opening ever. That's at 77. So, I mean, December doesn't historically have giant.
Not worried about it.
Openings. Oh, I know. Right now, Fandango sales are 76%. The Hobbit right now, which in March, The Hunger Game was like 80-some percent of Fandango sales, and it was a $150 million opening. So I think 110, I would take the over at 110, the under at 115.
Yeah, I think I probably would too.
So we're looking in that 110 to 115 range.
So we did an over and an under for the same movie. Congrats. If for whatever reason you don't go watch The Hobbit.
Save the Date does look cute, by the way, too, the limited release.
Yeah. But save that for a later date. Now, if you're not going to see The Hobbit this week, if you just can't get out to the theater, you got kids, children, whatever, what should you see, Dave?
I didn't write one down.
No, you didn't.
Let's say Another Earth.
Yeah, sure. Although I think you've already used that once.
Let's say...
Any other Britt Marling movies you want to throw in there?
Sound of My Voice, I think I've already used.
Yep, you've used that one.
Arbitrage wasn't good enough, although there's a line about Applebee's. It's hilarious. You give yours.
Okay, I will. I picked Dawn of the Dead, the remake. Most of you probably already have seen that, but the reason I put it in is because Ty Burrell is kind of a bad guy in that movie. But he's still charming as kind of that guy that's an absolute dick and you want to see get eaten by a zombie. And, you know, they do kind of play with that where, oh, this is where he's going to get it, because you know he's going to get it, but, oh, it's not where he gets it. So, yeah, I think it's just another example. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Zack Snyder too. He didn't fuck this up at all. So yeah, check out Ty Burrell, and that'll give you a good idea of what he might be like in The Muppets, except he probably won't say that many bad words.
And for mine, we're gonna go north of the border. I'm gonna say Young People Fucking.
No, bullshit.
Why?
Because you already told people to watch that in the movie marathon.
You watch it before you come to the movie marathon, and when you're in the middle of the fest, enjoy it for the second time.
You dick. All right, fine. The fans of the podcast, I hope you're realizing that Dave doesn't care about you. I care about you. I gave you a movie you probably already saw, but I gave you another reason to watch it. Two other reasons to watch it. Dave just doesn't care. So if you care about Dave and you want to interact with him, though he doesn't want to interact with you and he doesn't want to give you a movie to watch instead of The Hobbit, you can do so in the following ways.
I'm at Dave Bisella on Twitter, BISCELLA, DaveBisella.com. You can check me out at my other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's Eric with a K, at Eric and Dave on Twitter, EricandDave.com. Also, before we get out of here, I want to plug some friend stuff. If you like podcasts, I plugged it a few weeks ago before their first episode. The guys that do the Nerdpocalypse podcast, which is a cool podcast, are doing Black on Black Cinema. It's actually a really, really awesome show. The first two episodes were Superfly and New Jack City. And the third one, they're doing Red Tails, which is a movie they hate. So that one's going to be a fun one to listen to. Also, longtime listener Tyler, Tyler Moliterno, Generation Animation, his podcast. He was at my work the other day. I thought I saw him, but was busy. And then I left, and then I come back to my computer, and his homepage is on my computer. So,
wow,
that was clever. That
nice was way fun to leave it.
Yeah. So, and then also JoeyRitter.com. Joey Ritter is a podcast I guested on a while back. My buddy Tony guested on it this week for the second time, and he talked about me a good bit. So, he talked about me and
he's
Eric and Dave.
He's a self-serving prick.
Yeah, but Tony's fun. So,
they talk about movies.
Check out JoeyRitter.com. I don't think they mentioned that.
Well, then why are we plugging it on this show? Plug it on Eric and
it's
Dave.
It's a me plug.
Yeah, I mean, fuck that.
That's it for me.
That's it for me, too. I don't
hit us up, moviesonup.com, at moviesonup on Twitter, MoviesOnUp at gmail.com or facebook.com/MoviesOnUp.
Being in December, we've got our top 10 of the year. That's coming. Maybe some stuff to look forward to in 2013 as well.
Send us yours, your top 10 of
or this
top year.
Whatever. Just
and then send us your most anticipated of 2013, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're keeping an eye on stuff.
Get those to us in the next couple weeks. We'll put that together for you, and those will be up around the holidays. Those will probably be our very special holiday editions of Movies on Up. But until then,
keep it up.